For Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the International Film Festival Rotterdam, and today I have the pleasure of being joined by filmmaker Juan Daniel F. Molero, who is presenting his film Videophilia and Other Viral Syndromes. So thanks very much for joining us, first of all.
Thanks for inviting me.
And if you could tell us a little bit about the maybe the narrative of the film, or even what your film talks about.
Well, my film tries to overload you with narrative, you know? So, I mean, I'm okay with a classical narrative and with non-narrative, but I'm more excited right now by, you know, just giving you a lot at the same time.
First off, to start off with the title, Videophilia. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
I mean, like, title of my films are usually, like, conditions. I don't know,
right.
Like,
yeah.
It's kind of clear, but it's like... love for screens,
right.
And for recording, and
yes.
And playback, more playback. It's a love for playback. Mm. Yeah.
Obviously, it also points out to like this today's generation that's pretty much sitting in front of computer screens a lot of their days and their times, right?
Yeah, it's like, or the screens follow them too. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not only like sitting on your computer and chatting. So that's what. One thing I didn't want to do with my film, you know, I didn't want it to be like a film with kids, like, you know, locked in their rooms, and no, there's like kids that also go to the streets, also get lost, but they still live like in a bubble full of screens, or, you know.
Yeah. They almost live like parallel realities, and they have different identities for whoever they meet. It's just really a fascinating story. But I wondered, when you first thought of this vision, was there anything in particular that inspired you to do so?
I've been doing experimental and documentary films before, but always like trying to make a fiction with whatever collage I got, or, you know, found footage, and this time I was like, okay, I want to make it now, and so I tend to have like different ideas like developing throughout the years, like since I'm like 19 or something, and I've never like thrown out any bad idea, because sometimes like the cheesiest idea can become like something really awesome if you don't, you know, just eliminate it as soon as you realize, like, no, that was stupid. No, maybe, yeah, it's stupid. Like, a lot of ideas of that film were just like came out of me being stoned and being like, oh, that would be like funny or stupid, and like. Yeah, but what if it's stupid and, I don't know, deep in some way, you know?
Yeah, yeah. So. I mean, there's filmmakers that do that, Harmony Korine being one of them, and there's plenty of examples. And also, that leads me to ask another question. So, how do you construct your scripts, and how did you construct this?
I work on layers, and, like, I've taken, like, 4 years to actually finish this film. From the script, so the first script was like the first layer, which is like the stupid layer, you know, like that, like that comical kind of accessible layer,
right?
For everyone, which is like the narrative, you know, boy meets girl, want to hook up, can't have sex, and other stuff happen. So that's like the main layer. Then I go over it again, and then I add some other layer of the film, another one, and then I mix this idea I had with another idea that I was like looking like a sci-fi idea, you know, so I just mix them together, you know, the sci-fi idea I had and this, like, teenage contemporary story, you know?
Sure, yeah.
And mostly, like, in the editing techniques and other stuff, you know? And that I wanted to save them for a new project, like, okay, whatever, I'm going to go all in with this and, you know, try to find new techniques for the next one, or...
Good point. Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because really, this is also a film that comes out of the post-production and the editing, and of course, you also edited the film. Especially because considering we should tell the viewers that there's some amazing effects in this film that actually ring true to the theme.
Defects, not effects.
Defects,
yeah. Special defects.
Exactly, yeah. So how was it? How was the post-production process?
It's weird because, well... And linking that to your question about the script, I kind of dropped out of school because, I don't know, I didn't feel like the model that they were, like, offering me was, like, the model that I feel comfortable with. Like, a lot of filmmaking is based on being, like, clear about what you want and being, you know, I know this and this is my choice and this is, you know, this is here because I want it to be. And I'm more of a, you know, I come from a documentary experimental tradition or formation, you know, do yourself anyway. So that's more like, you know, flowing and or directing without people realizing that they're being directed, you know. So it's the same techniques I use with that, but like in painting, because I'm related to other arts in my way of producing and creating, like I'm more like process based.
Sure.
And so I really wasn't sure how I wanted the film to look. I was just shooting some essay, like screen tests, and then like right next, I mean, but always like based on scenes, and then as soon as I got back to my house, I started to edit them like in units, you know, like a screen test, like a rehearsal. But then I was like, okay, maybe that could work too. I'm just going to keep it here. I'm going to start building like, you know, the structure of the film with whatever I can find time to shoot, because we shot it like in 2 years of, so that's why the film is so chaotic and fragmented, you know, because it was and like atemporal or anachronic
you know,
feeling. And so I started to figure out how I wanted to look at it, because one part of the shooting was like different, you know, when we shot it, it was like kind of cheesy sometimes, but then with the editing and all the atmosphere and so it was great to actually be surprised by why I created or what was created, you know, by the collaborative effort, rather than being like, oh, it just looks exactly as I imagined it, you know. But yeah. I think that's boring, in my opinion.
I think
so. Theater, you know.
I wanted to know a little bit about this almost subtle but haunting blending of a comic side to a really tragic side. Is that something that came natural to you while you were making the film?
Yes, I mean, I was trying like really hard to make like a comedy and a like, commercial film. I mean, I don't know. I mean, really, it's what I mean. So like, okay, I came from doing like autobiographical, you know, film with found footage of my family and feelings, and I was like, okay, that was not cool to do. I mean, I liked the film, but I was like really exhausted after I did that.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I want to do something funny and enjoy it and not take it seriously.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end, you know, we always have, you know, our deals within, and I just like ended up doing more of a serious thing. But I think I think that's a kind of a Peruvian sensibility,
really,
to be like laughing at sad and fucked up shit. But
it's kind of like the Irish one then. Then I can understand it very well. Final question, how did you gather the money together to even make it come alive?
Well, it was hard. I mean, I got like a small loan, like really, 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 really small. I mean, not even 1 month wage normal guy in the UK. You know, we're friends. Most of our friends are artists too. I mean, the ones that act on the film, or they're doing some creative stuff. So they're like always looking to fill in up the gaps of nothingness or boredom. But they're cool, and they were like really trusting the film, and so they didn't. But we were just like shooting like 1 day or 2 days, and I mostly spend it like on some taxis. They like the ones that were the camera with the camera.
Yeah,
and
the other ones could take a bus.
Yeah, and the camera was of the DOP, and it's like a camera like this one. It's like a Rebel 2
T2. DSLR.
Yeah, but it's like the Rebel. It's like the cheapest one.
And yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like $700-$600 or something, and with a plastic lens. So we were like playing cool, you know, like punk. So this camera was like my shitty guitar, you know, but I make like good distortion, you know, or good pixels.
Yeah.
And so we shot all that, like feeling like, yeah, rock and roll, you know.
It feels like it comes right out of the streets, this film.
Yeah, and everyone was like, you know, we were always like making fun of what we were doing, like, oh, this is so crappy, or this film is like, you know, it's like, you know, porn comedy. And so we were always like lay back on that, and that created like an unpretentious environment, you know. And of course there were like other meanings and, you know, and the intentions beneath them, but that doesn't have to be on the set, I think. Then I was just like editing and adding all the glitches and everything to the film, and just like being crazy and, you know, ruining my life and my social life, and really I was
suffering
like,
for your art.
Yeah. And then
I understand what you're talking
finally
about.
and the government didn't give you like us any support. I mean, the film applied to a grant, you know, and this was the only one in competition, and they declared like, they said like, no, let's give the money back to the state. And then finally at the end of the tunnel, the Hubert Bowles Fund was like, we love the film,
yeah,
we want to give you like 20,000 euros to finish the film properly.
Aren't those guys great? Rotterdam is wonderful.
It's crazy that they they like it, you know.
They really care about the visions, you know. Mm-hmm. If a filmmaker shows potential for a vision, they go for it. It's extraordinary.
It's great because now, I mean, before sometimes when you're like finishing a film, you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be so crazy and make it less experimental. But my dream was to make it like as experimental as I could because I finished the film like on the 21st of January, like the same day the festival started. So that's cool because it's a film about now.
And that's amazing. Well, hopefully now this film will have a very successful life after the festival, and I'm looking forward to seeing your future works too.
Thanks
a lot. Thanks for joining us and talking with us about
I hope I can show it in the UK and see what the punks think about it.
Well, you know, it's there for the taking. Let's do it. I'm a punk myself, so Thanks very much. And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.